Brother George has asked that we read from Numbers chapter 10, the first 10 verses. Numbers chapter 10, the first 10 verses. This scripture talks about trumpets blown for various reasons. I was thinking about, I don't know that I own a trumpet, but I own two horns that I know of. One was a horn from a bull's horn. It was my grandfather's, made out of a horn from a bull, and he used it to call his foxhounds. And it amazed me that his dogs knew the sound of his horn and would come at the call. The other horn I have is from Martha's grandfather. It's a dinner horn. It's made out of tin. And when he gave it to us, he said he used to listen so closely when he thought it was dinner time for his mother to blow the horn for him to come, that it was dinner time from the fields. He said he'd hear across the valleys and the mountains different horns and different dinner bells ringing, but it wasn't his mother's horn. But he knew the sound of his mother's horn when she called him home for dinner. One of the uses of horns in Scripture, I don't know what Brother George is to speak about, but it's to call people home. Scripture tells us that one day the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, calling us home. And I trust that each one of us will be able to hear it, or waiting for it, anxiously awaiting for it, and that we'll respond, be able to respond at the call of it. Numbers chapter 10. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, make thee two trumpets of silver, and of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly, and for the journeying of the camps. And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle or the congregation. But if they blow but one trumpet, then the princes which are heads of the house, heads of the thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves unto thee. When you blow an alarm, then the camps that lie on the east part shall go forward. When you blow an alarm the second time, the camps that lie on the south side shall take their journey. They shall blow an alarm for their journeys. But when the congregation is to be gathered together, ye shall blow, but ye shall not sound an alarm. And the sons of Aaron the priests shall blow with the trumpets, and they shall be to you for an ordinance forever throughout your generations. And if ye go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresses you, then ye shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies. For in the day of your gladness, and in your solemn days, in the beginnings of your month, ye shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings, and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God. Shall we kneel for prayer?
We welcome everyone this morning in the name of the Lord. We're glad you're here, you're listening in or watching. We pray God's blessings on you. The first thing I want to mention is my daughter Becky. Larry asked me I'd give you an update. She's home. She's been home for several days, and she's doing very well. We thank you for your prayers. There were gifts, there were flowers. I don't know what all people did, but they certainly appreciate it, and she's doing well at home. So we thank you for especially the prayers. God has been merciful. We often sing the verses, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, when the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair, then the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is caught up yonder, I'll be there. We sing that different times. I'm not very technical, but I'm going to try to do something here this morning. There are two kinds of trumpets in the Bible. So we have the ram's horn that most people think the trumpet ram's horn. But there are the silver trumpets. And it seems from Scripture there's different uses for each of them, and we want to look at that this morning. So I'm going to try, if I can make this thing work. I'm just no good at this stuff. I tried to record a ram's horn this morning, and I tried to record a silver trumpet. This would be the ram's horn. It has sort of a higher pitch, maybe. I think this will go into the people of Israel planning for the third. This would be the silver trumpets. It's a little bit lower to what I'm blowing. Different sounds, and you notice their notes are staccato notes and so on. So they had signals. They had to know the signal. They had to know what it meant. They had to listen carefully if there are two trumpets blowing or just one. Had to know, what does this signal mean? What does that mean? I mean, you know, the military uses it. You know, they've used it for years, and all kinds of armies have used bugles or trumpets. You know, in America, it'd be charge, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da, you know, and bedtime, da-da-da-da, you know, they have all kinds of signals. And that's what they did. And it was up to the priests, if you read this carefully, it was up to the priests to make sure the people knew the signals. And it was always under the control of the high priest and his sons. Only the priests, that was their job. It wasn't for somebody else. It had to be the descendants of the high priest and so on. So we often think of the shofar as being the trumpet, and it is. But it's also the silver trumpet. And I might as well say from the beginning, in the Greek text, in the Hebrew text, you can tell the difference. The shofar is the Hebrew word for the ram's horn or the animal horn, basically the ram. And then it's haksetzara is the silver trumpets. And there were two of them, so it's plural haksetzarot. It's plural, two of them. And there were two different kinds of trumpets, and they had different uses. So the ram's horn, you knew when it was going to blow, basically. You knew it was blown on Shabbat, on Sabbath, it was blown. Beginning of the month, the ram's horn would blow. When a new king was anointed, they blew the shofar. There were set times, you knew when it was going to go off. And even modern Israel, when a president's sworn in, they blow the shofar, the ram's horn. Now, the Talmudic writings say that the shofar can be made from sheep, domestic or wild goats, gazelles, antelope. Interestingly, for Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year, originally was the Feast of Trumpets, but they changed it to Happy New Year kind of thing. Actually, they use an antelope horn for that. It's pretty long, you know, compared to what a ram's horn would be and so on. But of all the horns, the ram horn is preferred. Why? Genesis 22, Abraham goes to offer Isaac on the altar. He's ready to kill Isaac, and God stops him, and a ram is caught in the thicket. And the ram is sacrificed in the stead of Isaac. So the ram's horn, because of that, is the preferred shofar, the ram's horn. But never a cow horn. Sorry, Brian, I understand that. I have a cow horn at home too, but yeah. There's an argument, some arguments about it. The Hebrew, the word for horn is keren, and so there was an argument about among different scholars that, you know, the cow's horn is called a keren, but never called the shofar. But yet there is a verse in one of the Psalms that kind of links the words related to the bullock, the par, and so on. And it comes out to be shofar. But anyway, they cancel all that because of this. Okay. They don't want to use a cow horn because they don't want to be reminded of the golden calf. Okay? That event of the golden calf. So no cow horn for a shofar. But other horns, yeah, antelopes and wild goats, you know, domestic rams, gazelles. Okay. So the cow's horn, that's out because of the golden calf. Sometimes the shofars are straight, sometimes they're curved. If you want a fun job, you can go look it up. I don't remember, it's a messianic site, but they go through this whole, I mean, you could spend a couple of days reading all the different uses of different styles of horns and how they're blown and all that kind of stuff, but we're not concerned about that this morning. The first reference to a shofar is in Exodus 19 at the giving of the law, okay? Be ready against the third, this is Exodus 19, beginning verse 11. Be ready against the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. Thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about. Take heed to yourselves. You go not up into the mountain or touch the border of it. Whosoever touches the mount shall be surely put to death. So you see the danger. There's a judgment, okay? And you have to remember this about the shofar. In some way or another, it's associated with judgment. Joab, even when Joab defeated their enemies, he sounded the shofar to bring the army back from chasing their enemies. But it still was related to that judgment on the enemy. There's always some connection to judgment with the shofar. Here, it's God saying, you touch the mountain, you'll be judged, you'll die. And so, there shall not a hand touch it, but surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the shofar, the trumpet, sounds long, they shall come up to the mount, to the border. Okay? It came to pass on the third day, there were thunders, lightnings, a thick cloud on the mount, and the voice of the shofar, exceeding loud. All the people that was in the camp trembled. Okay? So the shofar, other than, I mean, its beginning is certainly associated with the possibility of a judgment for disobeying God. Now, the shofar, it's used ceremonially, and so you basically know when it's going to be sounded. You're not always scared, but it's still, you got to think of judgments at times, basically. Now, the silver trumpets, the two of them can be sounded at any time. You know when the shofar is going to go off. It's the beginning of the month. Shofar is going to be blown. You know, whatever. You know the shofar is Sabbath. Shofar. The king's anointed. You know you're going to hear the shofar. You know when it's going to go off, but not the silver trumpets. The silver trumpets were used for an alarm. And so when you get to the New Testament, the trump of God, which trumpet might more relate to the rapture of the church? Would it be the shofar or would it be the silver trumpet? Because you never knew when the silver trumpets were going to be sounded. Now, there were some days you knew, but it could be sounded unexpectedly at any time. And so that's the way it is with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Hebrew texts distinguish the shofar and the chasurat. But the Greek text, even the Septuagint, uses one single word, whether it's a ram's horn or the silver trumpet, and I'm not sure my Greek's any good, but the basic word is salpinx, I think. Maybe I'm not pronouncing it right. And it takes different forms, number of forms, salpingo, salpinga, salpinga. But the basic word, it just means the trumpet because of the noise or something like that. So it's hard to tell if you're reading the Greek text which is this going? In the New Testament, in the Greek text, what's it talking about? Is this a shofar or is it a silver trumpet? Is there any way I can know? Well, there's a way we can have a good idea. If we study the Old Testament, we can sort of understand what's happening in the New Testament. So the shofar is connected to judgment. Judgment on unbelievers, judgment on backsliders, judgment on apostates from the children of God. Jeremiah, here's what Jeremiah said. He's talking about the God's bringing judgment on the nation for their idolatry, right? Jeremiah chapter 4, declare ye in Judah, publish in Jerusalem, say, blow ye the trumpet in the land, cry, gather together, assemble yourselves, let us go to the defense, set up a standard, retire not, for I will bring evil from the north and great destruction. The shofar sounded, God is going to judge the apostasy of Israel. In verse 19, Jeremiah goes on, my bowels, I'm pained at my very heart. My heart makes a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace because you've heard, O my soul, the sound of the shofar. Judgment of God is coming. Destruction upon destruction is cried, for the whole land is spoiled suddenly. Are my tents spoiled, my curtains in a moment? Somehow the shofar, always some connection to judgment. Gideon blows a shofar to call the Jews together, but why? It's to bring judgment on their enemies, the Midianites. It's always something. Now, there's an exception. There's always an exception there. Yom Kippur, in the year of Jubilee, the shofar is blown. Okay? That's going to happen. The year of Jubilee is where God's people are set free. Well, how does that relate to judgment, then, the shofar? Because when that trumpet goes and God's people are set free, that means God's judgment will fall on the unbelieving world. God's people will be set free, but those who are not God's people are judged. That's what happens at the year of Jubilee. At Rosh Hashanah, originally, it's called Zikron Teruah, the sounding of the shofars and trumpets. They blow both at Rosh Hashanah. But originally, and even today, they're blown to introduce what the Jews call the evil days. They blow Rosh Hashanah, the sound is to introduce the days of evil. Now, what? Well, if you read in Leviticus 23, the Feast of Trumpets, the Zikron Teruah, the sounding of the trumpets and so on, it's to call the nation together. In typology, it's God calling the Jews back to the land of Israel in typology. But why are they going back? They're going back for the time of Jacob's trouble, where Zechariah says 2/3 of them will die. So we have the Hatzarot, the silver trumpets. We have the shofar. The Greek does not distinguish the shofar and the silver trumpet. Maybe they were interchangeable back then, but I think we can look at scriptures and kind of have an idea of what trumpet we're reading about when we look at scripture. Let's look at Joshua. In Joshua chapter 6, we're all familiar with it. And verse 3, it begins, "Ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, go around the city once." And you do that for 6 days. One time around the city, six days, right? On the seventh day, and while this is going on, the seven priests will bear seven trumpets of ram's horns, the shofars. And the seventh day, you compass the city seven times. So you go around the city once every day, but then the seventh day, you go around the city seven times. Turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 5. I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. Seven back in Joshua, seven in Revelation. It's going to follow the pattern. Remember, the Jewish mind and God's word is so full of patterns, and patterns matter. It is Revelation chapter 8, 9, 10, 11. Is that talking about a shofar or a silver trumpet? Well, it's a reflection on the book of Joshua, where they used the shofar. The second day, Joshua 6, they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. Thus they did 6 days. Revelation chapter 6, I saw the Lamb open one of the seals. Then it goes on, he opened a second seal. I heard, and all these events happen as their seals are open. We won't get into all that. A third seal is open. The fourth seal is open. The fifth seal is open. The sixth seal is open. And then all kinds of things happen. The earth is shaken. But you know what happens when the seventh seal is open? The seventh seal gives way to seven trumpets. So you have, in the book of Joshua, you have six. Then the seventh, you have another set of seven. In the book of Revelation, you have six seals. The seven seals at the seventh seal. Now you have another set of seven trumpets. You see the pattern. So it's very likely that you could say the book of Revelation is talking about judgments on the world. It's related to the shofar, not to the silver trumpet. A lot of things happened that correspond with the book of Joshua. Remember the two spies went in, okay, and they saved Rahab's family. In Revelation, you have two witnesses. We don't know who they are. I like the idea of Enoch and Elijah, but doesn't matter. They're prefigured by the two spies in the book of Joshua. They're prefigured also by the, who were the other two? The two angels that destroyed Sodom, right? In the book of Zechariah, it's Zerubbabel the high priest and Joshua the high priest. You see these two prefiguring, but here in Joshua you had the two spies save Rahab's house, and in the book of Revelation, in this whole pattern of the seven and the set of seven, you still have that two figures coming into play. So you see the patterns really matter. So in Joshua 6, verse 15, on the seventh day, they rose early. About dawning, they compassed the city seven times. On that day, they compassed the city seven times. In Revelation, it says when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven. What did Joshua tell the people? You make no noise at all with your mouths. You don't do anything. You be quiet. The trumpets blow, but you be quiet. There was silence in heaven in the book of Revelation. You see the comparisons here. You shall not shout, make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Well, then the seventh day and the seven times around Jericho, what happened? It says, they shouted, the city has been given to us by the Lord. In Revelation, what happens? They blow the seven trumpets, and after Joshua says, the Lord hath given you the city, in the book of Revelation, the scripture says, they shout, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdom of our Lord. The same pattern. So I think it's safe to assume that when you're talking about this Revelation 8, 9, 10, 11, you're talking about a shofar. It's related to judgment. But what about the silver trumpets? We go back to Numbers now. We want to look at the silver trumpets. First of all, they're silver. What's silver in the Bible? It's redemption. It's the price of our redemption is silver. The firstborn are redeemed with the shekels of silver, right? Silver, the three main things in the tabernacle and later the temple. You have brass, nehushet, you had kesef, silver, you have zahav, gold. As you go closer into the Holy of Holies, it's more valuable. But silver is the price of redemption. Shouldn't that be gold? I mean, gold doesn't oxidize, but apparently silver does. I'm not a chemist. I don't know all that. But silver is not quite the same value as the gold. Why would God think our redemption is silver instead of gold? Well, one explanation that I think sounds reasonable, even though we appreciate our redemption, I mean, without it, where would we be? The point is, God did not create us to be redeemed. We were not created to be lost and then redeemed. And so, as you look in the book of Genesis, you don't see silver, but you see the land of Hav, where there's gold, right? In the book of Revelation, at the end, you see gold, but you don't see silver. You understand? Silver is valuable for all of us, the redemption, but we weren't created to be saved. We weren't created to fall into sin and have to be redeemed. But without the silver, it's hopeless, right? So the trumpets are made of silver. The trumpet call, calling people. Silver should, even modern Israel, silver, kesef, you say for money. That's the word for money. You know, how much kesef? How much money? even today. And someone made this point very real. God uses silver to get people. People use silver, or people use, others will use people to get silver. God uses silver to get people. Others use people to get silver. Which side are we on? Which side are we? Are we using silver, kesef, money? Are we using that to get people? Or are we using people to get silver? Anyway, the trumpets are made of silver. So he says, make two trumpets. Okay, and then remember, the ram's horn is made by God. But these silver trumpets, man has his hands on it too. Man is instructed how to make it, what to do, and all that. So you see the difference there. Judgment belongs to God. Redemption in that is also something for us to be involved in. You understand? When both are blown, all the congregation, we're back in Numbers 10, you can follow along. When both are blown, all the congregations will gather themselves. Yet if only one is blown, then it's the leader. So everyone had to know the signals. Is that one trumpet? Is that two trumpets? What is that signal? Is that just a gathering signal, or is that an alarm? They had to know the difference. They had to know the difference. But when you blow the alarm, and so there's an alarm. When you blow an alarm, the camps that are pitched on the east side shall set out. The temple later, this is happening, Numbers 10 is the tabernacle, right? But later when the temple is built, when Solomon's temple is built, it's the same pattern. The same tribes and the same outlay, you know, the facing east and all that kind of stuff. It says, when the trumpet sounds, those on the east shall set out. Now, they were packing up and leaving. That was a signal to move in the tabernacle. But what about in the temple? To the east side of the temple, even today and forever, since the temple's there, is the oldest Jewish cemetery ever. The dead people are to the east, okay? But God said when the trumpet sounds, the east moves out first. Don't we read that in Thessalonians? That how does it say? The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead, those to the east, the dead in Christ, shall rise first. And then it says, when you blow an alarm, the second time, the camp's on the south side. In that early Solomon temple period, that's where the people lived, to the south of the temple. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. You understand, the silver trumpets, I think, fit as the trumpet in Thessalonians. Does it matter? No, God can blow whatever trumpet he wants to blow. I'm just trying to give us some clues of what we can come to a basic understanding of what it might be. So when the silver trumpets sound, the dead in Christ rise first, then we which are alive and remain. Then he says, when convening the assembly, however, you shall blow without sounding an alarm. Beware of alarms. No false alarms. We can't have false alarms, and we're getting false alarms, aren't we? Harold Camping. Jesus is coming back on this certain day. Three times he got it wrong, right? People predict the coming Lord. Some people have sold their property and made people rich teaching them that. And we got to beware of false alarms. Oh, 666, that's everywhere. Back in 2020, during the election, Joseph Biden, somebody figured the year 2020, if you divide it by 666, it comes out to 30330. That was the number for Joseph Biden's campaign, okay? Okay, oh, what an alarm. False alarm. Joe Biden's not the Antichrist, okay? We got to be careful. And I'm not saying ignore everything, but figure out, is this a false alarm or is this real? We have to examine. We have to use our head. The priestly sons of Aaron shall blow the trumpets. perpetually a statute for your generation. The priest's duty is to teach the people the signals. It's our duty in the pulpits and in the classroom to teach people the signals. What should we be looking for? Jesus said to watch. Well, watch for what? You know, you got, I always miss this guy's name. Rick Warren. Don't study prophecy at all because it just distracts everybody. But in the meantime, he says we have to worship, we have to get along with Muslims and Buddhists and everybody to bring peace into the world. That's the Antichrist agenda. Well, I don't want to listen to you, Rick Warren. Jesus said to watch. I'm interested in what he said to watch for. Not to ignore it, not to think I know or have it all figured out, but something somewhere. Daniel says that, you know, you read the book of Daniel at the end, what happens? Seal these things up until the end of the time. I think as we get closer to the Lord's return, some things are actually going to be revealed to us. But we have to be careful of false alarms regardless. So it's the priest's job. It's the teacher's job. When you go to war in your land against the adversary, sound the alarm with the trumpets. We got to remember, when the trumpet of the Lord does sound, even if it's the rapture, okay, it's still a spiritual battle. Except, I think basically we get to watch it, right? What's it say in Revelation 19? I saw heaven open, behold a white horse. He that sat upon him was called faithful and true. In righteousness, he judges and makes war. It's a spiritual war we're going to be called to, but we're not going to be affected by it. His eyes are a flame of fire. His head, many crowns. He had a name written. No man knew but himself. Clothed in a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. The armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Even when the trump of the Lord sounds and it's the rapture and we're caught up with the Lord, it's still the spiritual battle that we're going to be a part of and be victorious. Now it also says here, in the day of your gladness and your appointed feasts, on the first days of your months, blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings, your worship. Blow the trumpets, sound the worship. Call people to worship, praise and worship God. That's also a time to be blowing the trumpets. So as we look at the world around us, ooh, it's scary. Our brethren in Ukraine, rockets flying over them, who knows where they're going to hit. It's got to be tough for them. People in Israel, it's got to be tough. People in other, all over the world. It's places we don't hear about. There are people every night don't know if they're going to live to see the tomorrow because of some enemy. Is that a time to praise God? When we look around us and see our nation collapsing and evil abounding, is that a time to worship? Well, here's what Jesus said. And even some of this relates to 70 AD. Everybody thinks that all of the discourse was all fulfilled in 70 AD. It wasn't. Because one of the verses Jesus says, when this happens that he's talking about, it'll be the worst time you've ever experienced. Well, since 70 AD, worse things have happened to the Jews. The Nazis killed more people than happened in 70 AD. I mean, all kinds of bad things have happened that were worse than 70 AD, actually, in the amount of people that die and so on. So this has also a future fulfillment, not just 70 AD. And Jesus says, when you see Jerusalem compassed with armies, are we seeing that or are we beginning to see that? What did the United Nations just say to Israel? You got to stop doing what you're doing, huh? All these nations, 100 some nations, and all but maybe two of them or three of them are opposed to Israel. They're starting to compass Jerusalem. Then let them are in Judea flee the mountains. Let them in the midst of it depart. Let not them that are in the countries enter in. These be the days of vengeance, that all things are written may be fulfilled. Woe to them that are with child, pregnant women. Woe to them that have nursing babies. There shall be great distress in the land and wrath on the people. They shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive. And Jerusalem will be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. There will be signs in the sun and the moon and in the stars. Upon the earth, distress of nations, perplexity, the sea and waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Do we see any of that right now? At least starting? I think we do. And what did Jesus say? Then they'll see the Son of Man coming in a cloud of power and great glory. When these things begin to come to pass, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. I think that is a lesson we can learn from the trumpets of God. Thank you for your attention.
And Brian had opening and he mentioned about the trumpet and the trumpet of the Lord the last day. What thought went through your mind? Was it like, I can't wait? Was it a thought of excitement, or was it a thought of fear and dread? I was looking up a verse and George referred to it, and I want to read that in closing. It's 1 Corinthians 15:52. And when this trumpet, when the Lord comes again, sounds, we won't miss it. Nobody's going to miss it. We're going to all hear it. Even those that have not bowed themselves to Him now are going to hear it, and they are going to, I believe, hear it with dread. 1 Corinthians 15:52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That's going to be a wonderful time that we can all look forward to. We thank George for his lesson this morning and pray that each of us apply what we have heard this morning, and we are aware and we are alert and looking and watching and listening for that trump to sound. Will we all please stand at this time for closing prayer?